monitor do the moving for you as we bring you the What's Happening sound every weekend. I'm Brad Crandall. Mrs. Frances Humphrey Howard, the vice president's sister, tells Monitor what she saw on her recent South American trip and how the United States is helping to win the war on hunger. That's later this half hour. Bob Newhart in an onstage comedy performance right after this converted oldie from Harper's Bazaar.
The Chattanooga Choo-Choo, Track 29. We gotta get there on time. We can afford to board the Chattanooga Choo-Choo. We got our fare and just a little to spare. You leave the Pennsylvania Station bound.
Forget.
What?
To call your FTD florist today for Valentine's Day flowers.
When's Valentine's Day?
Next, Monitor on Stage. Performances by top stars recorded live at leading nightclubs, theaters, and concert halls throughout the world. Right now, our star is comedian Bob Newhart, that noble Roman who's trying to whip up some company spirit during a business meeting of, are you ready? The General Chariot Corporation. Bob Newhart.
Okay, the meeting is now in order. You fellas in the back there, you want to knock it off? Yeah, let's put down the grapes and send the girls back to the kitchen, huh? Well, fellas, I guess I don't have to tell you that General Chariot is not too happy with the sales picture. Now, we think our big problem is promotion. It always has been, and it will be in the future, I'm sure. Now, we brought in one of the top sales promoters in the business. Flavius here. Flav, you want to stand up? I'm sure you're all familiar with Flavius's work. As you know, the Coliseum was really losing a lot of money until Flav stepped in and brought in the Wild Animal Acts. And as you know, it's doing turn-away business right now. It's really one of the great promotional campaigns of our time. Incidentally, it's a great, great place to take your friends or to see your friends, depending on how carefully you pick your friends. Fellas, the Chariot business has really undergone some major changes. Our major problem, the motivational and research boys tell us, is that we keep coming out with the same chariot year after year. Now, we got to modernize our thinking. Now, this is 421 B.C. But we're going to have to look ahead to 420. Now, Flav here has suggested maybe 1 year we stick some fins on it. The next year we'll stick some holes in the side, 3-4 holes. Then, Herminius, you have a question there? Will the holes in the side have any practical value? Yeah, they're going to keep us in business, Herminius, is what they're going to do. All right. Now, the advertising people have come up with an idea which I think is really great. For every gladiator who kills a lion, we're going to give him a new general chariot. And, of course, we'll get a lot of... You have another question there, Herminius? Well, what would a lion do with a chariot, Herminius? The dealers have been complaining about the little chariot the Huns have come out with, and so we're adding a compact chariot. We're going to stick the horses in the back on this one. Not only will it give us better traction, but it also gives the driver a nicer view. Sure, gentlemen, I think we can look forward to a very sick... Yes, I have a question. Oh, you'd like to leave. You have an appointment? Well, yes, go ahead. I'm just about to terminate the meeting. Now, I think we can look... You'd like to borrow what? What, the knife? Oh, there you are. I think we can... You're welcome, Brutus. I think we can look forward to another successful year for General Chariot, and I'm certainly looking forward to it. And this meeting is now dismissed. Thank you very much.
Monitor on stage, and that was Bob Newhart. Edie Gourmet, both asking and answering her own questions.
I trust in you. I saw the love of my life in you. It seems so right. How could I be so wrong? He was the one I could count upon. It's hard to say how I could be.
President Humphrey's sister tells us to what extent America is winning the war on hunger in Latin America, where she recently made an extensive tour. Hear Mrs. Frances Humphrey Howard just 4 minutes from now.
Stay right here on NBC.
To be even more specific, stay on the Monitor Beacon. Monitor, New York. WNBC, New York.
Politics, sports, science, show business. Everything happens in New York, and the Bill Mazur Show tries to bring you everything that's happened. Hi, this is Bill inviting you to join me, my guests, and the WNBC News staff weekdays from 4 to 7 p.m. as we keep you in touch with New York and the nation on WNBC Radio.
Do you like problems? Big problems? Little problems? Unusual problems? Do you really like problems? Well, if you do, the Peace Corps can get you together with a whole country full of them. Write the Peace Corps, Washington, D.C.
Monitor back with you at precisely 19 minutes after the hour.
This is the way Jimmy Rogers sings, I Believe It All.
Mary had a little lamb. One and one make two. Does she love me? Does she not? Tell me, Daisy, do. Oh, to be a child again. Oaks from acorns grow. One and one made two. I believed it all, didn't you?
I remember when every day began with strawberry jam and laughter. And every story ended with happily ever after. I remember feeling that I would be safe if I didn't step on a crack. The days when the sun was up ahead and the wind was at my back.
Does she love me? Does she not? Tell me, Daisy, do. I believed it all, didn't you?
Didn't you?
Throughout the world, the war on hunger never stops. In the forefront of America's efforts, Mrs. Frances Humphrey Howard, sister of the vice president of our country, her brother Hubert. Mrs. Howard has devoted her life to a career as civil servant in the Agency for International Development. Under the Eisenhower administration, she was named to her present post as chief special projects in the Office of the War on Hunger. Mrs. Howard, welcome to Monitor.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Now, you just recently returned, among others, I believe, from Uruguay after looking into the student exchange there. Now, how do the South American officials in the government, for example, react to the aid from America? Is it adequate, step one? I keep thinking Milton Eisenhower's statement about it has never been and is likely never to be
well,
adequate.
Well, I think you've answered your own question on that, but my terrific concern on this trip was to bringing the young people, and particularly the women, into the the technology and the bounce and the movement of the 20th century, you cannot have a strong agricultural economy where you don't have information. As President Barrientos said to me in Bolivia, it's fine to be a president, but I want to be president of an educated people. And he takes a plane and he goes to these villages on the Altiplano. The same thing with President Frei. When I arrived, I talked to him about education of the rural woman. Do you know that manuals and books are being written? And the president of a country like Chile, as well as the Minister of Education and Agriculture, know what goes into those books. They teach literacy by teaching more production in agriculture, by teaching about credit unions, by opening up mental vistas of new farm improvement. And in many of the areas, even in the barriadas of the city, there is hope. Unless this hope is matched by some improvements in the income, many of these people earn, as you know, under $300 a year. Some of them even less than that. Illiteracy ranges in some countries to 40 to 50%. So that there's a lot to be done. And the education of the rural youth before he gets to the city and in the crowded barriada is important, because he's a highly productive unit in areas of the world where hunger stalks.
This raises another question. If the food production levels are good in the rural, the agricultural areas, he's not likely to wind up in a barrio, is he?
No, this is what I found in a country like Bolivia. This little leader, this Indian boy that had been to Wilmer, Minnesota, and learned about from 4-H kids about farm co-ops and so forth, he's now the leader in this whole area in the Altiplano. He's seeing to it that they're building better barns, houses with windows, and better shearing of sheep and that sort of thing. But what we're after now in the war on hunger, sir, is to assist these countries in helping themselves in a balance between their food and population. And the way, it seems to me, to do this is to create an excitement within the in school systems, within the rural youth training programs, within the ministries of agriculture. I talked to literally hundreds of women about the same sort of thing we have had in the Dakotas, the extension service and women's role in nutrition and homemaking, how you teach a woman how to use this powdered milk so that the babies don't die because the milk isn't sterile, how you basically teach them the technology of canning food.
Preserving food.
Preserving food. And apply technology is tremendously important. These youngsters are eager for information. And the exchange program, we call it IFE, International Farm Youth Exchange, whether it's under 4-H or whether it's under Future Farmers, any of the groups, Farm Bureau, these are important programs because young people now with communication with radio and television are saying, we want to know more, we want to know it faster, and they like to learn it from each other.
I have one personal question I'd like to ask you regarding this. I've known a few of the African exchange students. I've had that privilege. And I've had the strangest feeling in talking to them. I don't know exactly how to explain it, except to say that they are founding fathers in the making right now. They will be as important in the history of their country as the men who wrote our original documents.
You are so right.
It's the weirdest sensation. There's almost a sense of awe in watching them prepare themselves for a role that they know is specific and important in their own areas. We, in this country, we're big enough now and successful enough so that most of us no longer have that kind of a feeling, at least not in terms of our own success.
And the excitement on their faces, the identification not only with our values, democratic values, and how we solve our problems in the rural areas, but in the technology, it's very exciting. And these young people do, in fact, become leaders. A youngster ran, 100 feet across a field to say that he had been in my hometown of Huron and lived with a farmer, and he told me the name of the farmer, one of our best farmers in South Dakota. And if this hope that I found in the barriadas and on the primitive farms, this hope has to be turned not into frustration, but into a willingness to work toward a broader-based economy in which land reform, which is now taking place in several countries, in which tax reform, which is coming slower. But these are the important things, and the young political leaders, and I met with them in almost every country, they know it, and they're identifying. Why? Because they've had some education here or in Europe or an exchange in Mexico, and they've seen that progress is made by the young people taking ideas and making them flower.
I suddenly find myself remembering a Churchillian line from the early part of the war years. Give us the tools, and we will do the job. Thank you very much. Mrs. Frances Humphrey Howard, sister of the Vice President, representing the Agency of International Development, who has been our guest right here on Monitor. Wherever you are at this moment, or virtually any moment through the weekend, you're at home with Monitor. Eastern Tennessee, for example, hears us on WATE, Knoxville. Where do you hear us? Well, don't answer. Your station's about to identify itself. And then Monitor returns shortly afterward with The World and Washington, an in-depth analysis of the United States' role in the world, produced by NBC News. This is Brad Crandall.
More Winter Olympics coverage tomorrow on the NBC Radio Network.